Hello, pet lovers. Welcome to All My Children Wear Fur Coats. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and this show is brought to you by the law offices of Hoyt and Bryan, where we create estate plans for pets and their people, Animal Care Trust USA, a not-for-profit dedicated to helping pet parents keep loved pets in loving homes, and Pet Connect, an app for pet lovers. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and I would like to welcome our special guest today. Her name is Kim Merritt, and she is the co-founder and chief advocation. I know I said that wrong, Kim, the chief advocate for Good Dog in a Box.
No worries, Peggy. I think it was, you pretty much got it there.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. We are just thrilled to have you because Good Dog in a Box is such an interesting concept. And I want you to share with our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got into the business of Good Dog in a Box and what inspires you about Good Dog in a Box.
Absolutely. So I am a serial entrepreneur from way back. I started my first company when I was 11 years old. I had a candy company that started when I was literally in junior high school and became a business while I was in high school and graduated and went on the entrepreneurial route. Apple Computer ended up being our largest client after I was discovered by Guy Kawasaki when I was about 16 years old, after he read about me in a magazine that I'd been in. And just had a really very interesting life in my teens and 20s, running this candy company and doing business with everybody from the Rolling Stones to Range Rover to all different types of companies. And got out of the candy business and had my son, and then went into an e-commerce business where we sold brand name dinnerware. So I've run a couple of companies over the years. And my sister was a professional dog trainer for 10, 11, 12 years. And she was reward-based and had this great message that we all really believed in. But as a dog trainer, and especially years ago, you were really very much limited by the area in which you could drive and you could service. And we kept trying to think of a way to get her wonderful message out to a larger audience. And I had just by happenstance several years ago been invited to speak at a small business development conference in San Francisco. And I was listening to Amy Norman, who is the co-founder of Little Passports, which is a subscription box to teach children about geography. Really cute product. And as I was sitting in the audience listening to her, it hit me, wow, what if we did a reward-based dog training subscription box? And that's where Good Dog in the Box originally came from. So my sister and I developed the subscription box as our first core product, and then our second product was a game that taught dog body language called Dog Smart, and originally designed for kids, but ended up that we've had, I think, probably more adults that use it to teach dog body language than children. But everything really started from those two products, and from there, we've just kind of grown by leaps and bounds.
Well, that is so fun. And tell us how the subscription part of this works, though.
Right. So you can purchase either a 6 or a 12 month subscription. And our core Good Dog in a Box product is a reward-based family-friendly training program that's designed for families with kids and dogs. Now, adults can do it too. And we, you know, actively say, well, if a kid can do it, you can do it as an adult. It's not meant for children to do by themselves, but to do with adult supervision. And each month, you can buy it two different ways. You can buy it where you get a box in the mail every month for 6 or 12 months, or you can buy it as a one delivery box and get everything all at one time if you don't want to wait for it. But you get a training tool, you get an activity guide, you get 5 reward-based dog training exercises, and then each exercise, there's cards that come in the box. But each card and exercise matches up to an online video that you can watch my sister and her dogs and one of 20 different kid dog trainers that we use to film all 160 of these videos. And you can actually watch the training being done so that you know that you're doing it right. And it's very engaging and very fun. We put some lightheartedness into it, so it's not drudgery, and it's really enjoyable for children to do and take part in and become active in the care of the family dog. And through the course of these reward-based dog training exercises, you know, not only do you have fun and kind of get everybody engaged in the care of the dog, but the dog actually learns things like how to listen and how to sit and how to walk on a leash and just a whole variety of things. We cover health topics and we cover responsible pet ownership, and then we cover a lot of dog training skills. So it's really a wonderful program, and we've literally shipped it all over the world.
That is really cool. And I remember when I first heard about this concept, I thought, wow, what a great way for kids and families to be actively engaged in the joint training of the family dog. Because you Absolutely. Know that Yeah, the issue that always comes up is people say, you know, parents say, oh, I don't want to get a dog because I'm going to end up being the one taking care of it.
And I would say the majority of the time, that's very much the case. And, you know, this is a way, again, to get everybody, mom, dad, you know, sons, daughters, everybody in the family participating in the care of that dog. It shouldn't just be one person's responsibility, regardless of who that family member is. So, and the other important thing is to get everybody on the same page. If, you know, mom's saying one thing to the dog and dad's saying something else and the kids are, you know, saying even something different, it's very confusing. So to get everybody using the same commands and doing it in the same manner and being gentle and using a reward-based background with it can make all the difference in the world for making, you know, Fluffy or Scruffy from a, you know, crazed animal that doesn't listen to a wonderful family pet.
Great idea. And I have a puppy, so I should probably subscribe. I have no kids, but I have a puppy.
I've got a puppy course just for you. We are introducing this week a brand new online-only puppy course that takes you through what you need to do with that puppy from actually the day before you get it up through the first couple months. And it's fun, easy to do. It features Gila Kurtz, who is a puppy training expert and also the co-founder of Dog is Good. We'll do a little shout out for her company. But I went out to Long Beach and filmed this with her, and it's fabulous. She does a fantastic job, and we've got some adorable puppies in the videos. And anybody who's thinking about getting a puppy or who has a new puppy, this is really something that it's very affordable, it's fun, it's quick, it's easy to watch, and it will help you get your sanity back.
Awesome. Sign me up.
I will make sure you get a subscription, Peggy.
Absolutely. So folks can find you at gooddoginabox.com. So I just want to make sure that they know they can go there. And you're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and LinkedIn, looks like YouTube.
Absolutely. They sure can.
All kinds of good places. And I love how just straightforward and friendly and easy to understand it is. So I think it's just wonderful.
Well, you know, the combination of my sister and I was so perfect for this product. She had all the dog training, the reward-based dog training skills, but I homeschooled my kids for years when they were little. So, you know, as funny as it sounds, and anybody who out there who homeschools will know exactly what I'm saying here, but I looked at this like a homeschool project and put it together like a homeschool work that I would do with my children. And a lot of what we did was Montessori based. So like the Dog Smart card game, for example, is based on a Montessori card game that I used to play with my kids when we homeschooled. So it's very user friendly and it's very adaptable to really children between the ages of about 5 and 13. And I designed it in a way that, I mean, there's things that children who don't know how to read yet can still take part in and do versus children who can read. So it was just a lot of fun to put it together.
Sounds like it would be. And since we all love dogs, at least everyone who listens to this show and everybody in my office, I just think it's the best thing for a family with kids and a dog. And of course, we know that the statistics are that dogs between the ages of 8 and 12 months end up in the shelter because they have behavior problems.
Exactly. And that was really what spurred both my sister and I to start this. Jen had worked in and out of shelters as a volunteer and a dog trainer for years. And, you know, she would continuously see these wonderful dogs that would end up at the shelter because nobody had bothered to do any type of training with the dog. The dog wasn't supervised and it bit somebody. Just numerous reasons related to behavior and biting. And so that's really kind of what we wanted to focus on. The goal was to keep a family dog with their family by teaching the household what to do as far as reward-based training, and then also teaching everybody what to look for in dog body language. To really kind of, you got to be able to speak dog a little bit to really kind of understand what that dog's trying to tell you to avoid it getting into a situation where someone gets bitten. So that was really kind of why we started.
So you mentioned dog bites. So how big of a problem is that?
Oh, it's huge. You know, according to the CDC, 4.7 million people a year get bitten by dogs, and more than half of that are children. The majority of children that get bit are between the ages of 5 and 9. So, you know, again, this was one of the reasons why we kind of focused in on that age range when we put everything together. My sister had taken some wonderful training from the Family Paws organization, Jen Schrock. And, you know, you would think by the age of 9 that, you know, that's not an age that you have to worry about, but it really is. You know, parents are thinking, oh, my child at 7, 8, 9 years old is responsible enough. And they do tend to be responsible. They can be, but they also can be loud and move quickly and not be in tune with what they're doing that may be causing a dog bite. Any dog can bite, regardless of how well you know that dog. And most of these dog bites are taking place with a dog that is known by the person that gets bit. So
I can see that happening, and I can see little kids not necessarily being mean to an animal, but maybe being annoying in a way.
Being a kid. I mean, let's face it. We all have, you know, we've all been around kids. We've all been kids ourselves. You know, kids are loud and they move quickly, and some dogs are just laid back and can deal with that. Some dogs can't. Some dogs just, you know, may have a bad day and, you know, I've had enough of this. And nobody is there kind of watching the situation to understand really what's going on. So, you know, all of these different things we've put a learning aspect into to kind of help parents understand what they have to be on the lookout for, and to help kids understand when a dog looks like this, we need to back off and we need to not go near this dog and give them some space. And here's why. So, you know, this is what we're trying to get across again, to help these family dogs stay in their forever home with their families.
So I guess I'm a little shocked. I guess I didn't know that the number was as high as 4.7 million dog bites a year.
It is. It is.
And it's not always your bigger breed dogs. Isn't that right?
No. And, you know, this is not a breed specific problem. It really is a human problem. This is a problem of people not paying attention, not watching, not training, not socializing their dogs, not reading dog body language. You know, we have to train our dogs. We just do. Because again, any dog can bite, and we have to be aware of what we're looking for. You have to understand what that dog is trying to tell you to help avoid the problem.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I remember my neighbor got a new puppy, probably 4 or 5 months old. And I have a lot of dogs at my house. And so I invited my neighbor to bring their dog over so that it could get socialized with my dogs. And their response was, why in the world would I want to socialize my dog? And I thought, wow, that's pretty short-sighted. And so they never did. And, you know, now the dogs, fortunately, they're separated by a fence, but they're separated by a horse pasture as well. So they can't get nose to nose. But they stand there and bark at each other all day long instead of being friends. And it makes me sad that they didn't have that opportunity.
Well, and you just saying that you got a puppy, that's when the most important development is going on, that you really want to socialize that puppy. You want to get that puppy with people and you want to get it with other dogs and you want to get it out in all different types of places. And you want to introduce it to the vacuum cleaner and the UPS driver and the postman and all these different things so that it doesn't grow up with fear. It doesn't grow up with issues that then you're going to have to deal with a lot of training later on. I mean, you still have to train regardless, but the more you can socialize and get that puppy out in the first several months, first 16, 18 weeks is just truly key.
Okay. So that's the critical time for puppies is up to 18 weeks.
Well, you know, and we talk about this not only in our puppy course, but we just launched, and I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but we just launched two new podcasts. And in fact, we just recorded one all on puppies where we talk about, you know, different periods during that first year that are important in the development of a puppy. But the first weeks that you have it are just so, so important. Just like a baby, as the younger they are, the faster they're developing. And it just really is important to get that puppy out there and socialize properly. Puppy class. Get your puppy in a puppy class whenever you get it so that it can be in a supervised situation with other dogs and have everything be a positive. You want all these positive reinforcement. You want good things to happen. You don't want negative experiences impacting and scaring this puppy for later in life.
Definitely. I do some dog fostering from time to time as if I don't have enough dogs. But one little guy that I fostered was an 11-month-old corgi, and he had been kept in an apartment his entire puppyhood, and he was wild, just wild. Completely uncontrollable, completely without manners, completely didn't know how to act around other dogs. And fortunately, I found him the best possible home I could get him. But he now lives on a farm with about 15 other dogs and horses and people 24/7. And to see the change in that dog from the wild little crazy man that came to my house the first day to the lovely, well-behaved adult dog that he is now, just makes me so happy.
And, you know, a lot of times the right home and family and the right situation can be a really positive thing for, you know, a dog like that. That dog, yep, like you're describing, needed to be in the right situation in the right family for it to be a success. And you know, that's important too, really, you know, kind of looking at your lifestyle and where you live and who's in your household and what kind of a dog is going to fit best. What age of dog is going to fit best? You know, it's not just, oh, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen. I have to have that. Let's take it home right now. I mean, you know, we need to think about this because it's an investment of years. 6 years, 10 years, 12 years, depending on what kind of a dog and how long it lives. So, you know, there really needs to be some thought into what's going to work the best for you. And, you know, if a dog doesn't work in your life right at this minute, you know, that's okay. You know, you've got plenty of time. You can get a dog when it really suits you and you have time to deal with it. Dogs take a lot of time, regardless of what their age.
They really do. And I'm glad you said what you said, because I think that it's important anytime somebody's thinking about getting a dog is that they really look at your lifestyle and then how that mixes with that particular dog.
Absolutely.
For high energy dogs or low energy dogs, big dogs versus small dogs. Sometimes multiple dogs is the answer so that you don't have a dog that is left alone all day long with nothing to do and nobody to do it with.
Right. Right. But it's really, really taking the time to really kind of look inside, look at where you are, what's going to be the best situation for me, and then finding the dog that fits it.
Excellent advice. I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and we're talking today with our special guest. Her name is Kim Merritt, and she is the co-founder and chief advocate for Good Dog in a Box. Kim, let's talk a little bit about this Dog Smart game that you have that is great education for kids and adults.
Right. So, you know, again, Dog Smart, I developed with my sister, and it is a card game, like a real old fashioned card game, not the kind you play online. You actually have to pick it up and play it. It's a card game that teaches dog bite prevention through the use of pictures of dog body language. So it's 52 different pictures of dogs in a variety of different situations where we focus on their set of cards is their ears, and the set of cards is their eyes, and the set of cards is their tail, and some are their whole body, and they're color-coded, and there's 24, 25 different ways to play. And again, I designed this game after Montessori card games that I used to play with my children when we homeschooled. So we not only have dog bite prevention games that you can play with it, but you can play all the classic card games, Old Maid and Fish and Rummy. You can play math games with it. You can play memory games with it. You can play matching games with it. We have a page on our website devoted to all the different ways and the instructions that you can play this game. So, you know, it really was designed to, you know, again, teach children, but I have a lot of adults that buy it. I have vet's offices that buy it. I have retail stores that allow dogs on premise to buy it so that the adults can look at the cards and start to understand what it means when a dog is doing these different things. And it's not a 100% guarantee that a dog bite or something, you know, something negative would happen. But the more education you have, the better off you're going to be to understanding what your dog or another dog is trying to tell you. And it's just a fun way to teach it.
It does sound like fun. And I grew up in a family where card games were our staple. So that sounds like a lot of fun. So tell us some of the other educational type programs that you have to teach children.
Absolutely. So we have two different curriculums that we sell. One is called SAFE. It's a dog bite prevention curriculum. And the other is called Reach and Teach. And it is a humane education curriculum. And these were designed for elementary age school children. SAFE, again, really kind of focuses on all of our dog bite prevention materials. We've got PowerPoints, and we have videos, animated videos, the Dog Smart card game, all kinds of fun ways that we use to teach that. In fact, there's even a Girl Scout patch, and that product is the SAFE curriculum is available as a Girl Scout project. So you can get Girl Scout patches, and the girls can go through and learn all about dog bite prevention and earn a patch. The Humane Reach and Teach Humane Education one focuses on not just dog bite prevention, which is part of it, but everything from spaying and neutering to being a responsible pet owner, what the true cost of a pet is and what that means. And again, it's aimed at elementary age school children. It has a workbook and all these fun games that we play with it. And we sell that to shelters and rescues who do community humane education presentations. We sell it to dog trainers. We sell it to Girl Scout leaders. I mean, we sell it to really anybody that is in front of children, teachers. And we have sent these products, again, all over the world, Australia and Germany and the UK and lots of different places, that because humane education is important everywhere. This is not just something in the United States. We send a lot to Canada as well. So our humane education programs have been very popular, and we're thrilled to have them out in the world.
Well, I love that you've adopted this approach for humane education at the childhood level. I know growing up, when my dad was with the Humane Society of the United States, they introduced the KIND program. And that kind of was the same idea, which is if you educate children at a young age about responsible pet ownership and being kind to animals, that they will carry that through into their adulthood.
Absolutely. And we advertise on our site that our programs were designed to reach and teach the next generation of pet owner. And that's exactly what we want to do, because if you teach a child empathy and how to love and care for a pet and be gentle with it, they'll grow up into a responsible pet owner as an adult.
I think that's awesome. So now you're branching out. You're not just focusing on children. Now you're looking to professionals as well.
Well, you know, it's funny, Peggy. When my sister and I first started this company, all of the products were made for the general public, for dog owners, for dog lovers. And it just so happened that because our materials, so much of it is designed for children, and because there's not a lot of, material out there for children, that a large percentage of our customer base ended up being dog trainers, reward-based dog trainers like my sister. And shelters and humane educators. And about a year ago, I started to look at who our customer base was and realized, you know, again, how much of it were dog professionals. And so try to come up with a way that kind of repackaged what we had and made it A, more affordable, and easier for our dog professional community to get, but then also looked at what their needs were. I mean, my sister was a dog trainer, and I would hear the different things that she wished were available to her and information that she wanted and, you know, conferences and things she was going to better educate herself. I kind of looked at that and thought, well, we've got lots of material, and, you know, I do own another company called the URL Doctor, and what I do mainly for the URL Doctor is online marketing, and we create e-learning content for companies that want to teach online. So video, animation, learning management systems, which if you look at Good Dog, you can definitely see where a lot of our stuff comes from, but I've got the ability to, you know, create all of this wonderful content. And 2 years ago, we started doing a webinar series for Dog Bite Prevention Week with experts in the dog industry talking about how to stay safe around dogs. And it was hugely popular last year. It was hugely popular this year as well. And we got so much positive feedback from the dog training community and the dog professional community about, oh my God, this content was wonderful. Thank you so much for producing it. We can't wait to see what other kind of content you're going to turn out. So that's really what we decided to focus on with Good Dog Pro. So it's all of our wonderful materials, our curriculums, all our reward-based dog training videos, packaged in a way that other dog professionals can use it. They can incorporate it into what they're doing. Humane educators can use it with what they're doing. And then on top of that, we're creating all of this new content to help people, whether they be who are dog professionals. So whether they're a dog trainer, a humane educator, a vet, a pet sitter, a dog walker, a breeder, you know, information that will help all of those different people in what they're doing. So additional, we've got some new courses coming out, like we did one with Jody Clock, who is an expert in pet end of life. Not something that a lot of people like to talk about, but do you know what to do if you're a dog professional, if you're a pet sitter or a dog walker and your client's dog dies? What do you do? Who do you call? How do you handle that situation? We have a wonderful program that Jody did with us on how to handle that. We've got a wonderful program that we're putting together with Michelle McCarthy, who is probably one of the leading therapy dog experts and trainers in the country. She's put a whole course on therapy dogs. And if you're an organization and want to bring a therapy dog in, how you do that. Or if you're a dog trainer and you want to train therapy dogs, how you do that. How to turn your own dog into a therapy dog and work with it. That's a great program. And we've got new things that are literally coming out all the time, in addition to the two new podcasts that we just launched. So we've got weekly content that is only available for our Good Dog Pro subscribers, available through the podcast. And then part of the podcast is also available to the general public, that anybody could listen to it. So Good Dog Nation and Good Dog Pro, the podcast, people can find those on their favorite podcasting platform. And then we also videotape them, so you can actually watch us if you prefer a video experience as opposed to listening. So you can find those on the gooddogpro.com website.
Excellent. That sounds like they're really fun. And I know that you and I were talking, and we'll certainly be talking about creating a course for estate planning for pets.
Yes, I would love it. And that is actually, we've had some requests for information on that. So, and you would be the perfect person to do that with. So definitely, you've heard it here first. We're definitely going to be creating a course for that here within the next couple of weeks.
Well, that'll be great. And I will look forward to that. So what's up and coming? What are we looking forward to beyond the new content for the podcasts? And what does the future hold?
So, you know, now that Good Dog Pro is finally launching and getting ready to hit our professional community, you know, we're going to have I'll be developing lots of new courses, lots of new material. We're also going to be looking for new revenue opportunities for this audience. My sister was a dog trainer for years, and I understand. I've been a small business owner all of my life. I understand, you know, how important it is to, yes, we love what we do, but we have to make money at it as well. So we've got some really interesting new things that we're going to be introducing to our members that we're going to let them sell, that they'll be able to incorporate into their business and make money on it as well. And one of those things is Dogsurance, which is my next big project. And that is an online training program for companies that allow dogs in the workplace. I'm sure as an attorney, you know that there are a lot of companies out there that are allowing dogs in the workplace, and they're not thinking through the liability and the insurance end of it. They're not thinking through the dog bite end of it. So we're taking all of our wonderful dog bite prevention information, all of our wonderful training, and we're going to kind of flip it so that it is aimed at companies who want to have dogs in the workplace, to teach them how to do it, how to do it responsibly, how to do it in a safer manner, how to teach the employees who come into contact with dogs, like your UPS drivers and your postal service people, how not to get bit in the workplace, and really kind of take a proactive approach to letting companies know how they can do this in a smarter way than they may be doing it right now. So that's our new product that we'll be getting into in the first quarter of 2020.
I think that sounds really interesting, especially because there are an increasing number of work environments that are inviting pets into the workspace. I personally have two dogs at my office every single day, and it is important for people to know how to interact with those dogs.
Absolutely, because it may not necessarily be you and your dog that ends up being an issue, but somebody that, again, doesn't understand dog body language, doesn't understand how to meet a dog, which sounds kind of weird, but unfortunately, a lot of times people in very high-pitched, squealy voices come up to a dog with hands waving and just, you know, making a lot of noise, and some dogs just don't like that. So understanding what's the proper way to really meet a dog, it's very easy to learn, very simple to do, but if everybody in your workplace isn't on the same page with that, there can be problems. So, you know, it's just a lot of little things, but helping a company just kind of put everything in place to make it a better situation for everybody, including the dogs.
Absolutely. It's important for the dogs as well. Okay. So how do we find information about Good Dog Pro?
Absolutely. GoodDogPro.com, launching this week. And we've got some wonderful specials going on for our new listeners. And definitely through Good Dog Pro, you can get access to Good Dog Nation and Good Dog Pro, the podcast. Both of those are on the site. You can watch them as well as getting them from iTunes and Stitcher and all the different podcast platforms.
Excellent. Well, that's where folks can find this radio show as well. All My Children Wear Fur Coats. It's on all of your favorite places to get your podcasts. We can also find Kim and Good Dog in a Box on Facebook and on Twitter and on Pinterest and on Instagram and YouTube and LinkedIn. She is just everywhere, you guys, and there would be no excuse for not being able to find her. And she will also have a blog written by me that will be on Animal Care Trust USA on our Loved Pet Press. So we want to thank Kim for joining us today. Thank you, Kim. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Peggy. And we're gonna do the reversal here. And the next time you're going to be on Good Dog Nation's podcast with us talking about pet wills and pet trust.
I love that. I love that we can help each other out and we all have this passion for pets. We're here each week on Mondays at 3 p.m. And we just hope that until there are none, you will adopt one and take good care of those pets. And happy tails.
Thank you, Peggy.